The Africa Report.
At 8 minutes to 8 o'clock this Sunday morning, it's a good morning to you once again, Crystal Waterson. And we reflect on 2 years since the kidnapping of 276 female students from Chibok in Borno State in Nigeria. Good morning.
Good morning, Africa, indeed. And I think this week the country certainly reflected on it with several marches in the big cities like Abuja, Lagos, and of course in Chibok. Of course, the parents are struggling to cope with the loss and also the fact that, you know, no one's been giving them any indication of how the rescue efforts are going. Of course, it also comes amid a video that was, you know, released to CNN and then showed. And parents were, of course, outraged that they've had to see on an international broadcaster the plight of their girls. They also feel angry that the government has not done much to rescue the girls. President Buhari, who came into power on the basis of fighting Boko Haram, was in China this week. He later indicated that, you know, the government is doing, or at least the army is doing the best they can to get the girls released. But the parents and activists, especially in the capital, Lagos, do feel that Boko Haram, of course, have, you know, developed this very sophisticated strategy by, you know, the girls have been broken up in different groups. So they perhaps could be all over the country, and finding them, you know, as the years and the months go on, becomes more and more difficult, Africa.
Extraordinary, isn't it, Crystal, given the huge campaign led in part by the First Lady of the United States, a hashtag bring back our girls, that 2 years later we still don't have them back.
Exactly, you know, such a huge campaign and, you know, internationally and domestically. But I think it, you know, it brings about the challenge of, you know, Boko Haram as this terrorist group was in Nigeria, and how the previous government under Goodluck Jonathan basically did nothing, and now Buhari feels that he has to fast forward all rescue efforts. And I do think that the rescuing the Chibok girls has not featured highly on that agenda, Africa. And I think that has to be admitted, because if this was a real issue, like he said he would fight Boko Haram, I do think there would have been extra efforts made to get the girls back. And I do think that parents do feel that their plight has not heard. And I think, you know, they have reason to feel that way.
Indeed. An important referendum, I think, in Darfur on whether or not to reunite the states of Sudan. This has gone unnoticed by the media.
Absolutely, Africa. You know, a few years ago, Darfur was the main news item, you know, internationally because of the displacement of people and the killing. And there was huge, especially huge sort of activism in the U.S. Now, you know, a few years on, you know, it's this week, the election went on for 3 days and we hardly had any coverage on it. I was in Darfur a few years ago and visited some of those internally displaced camps. And, you know, just to imagine that they had election this week was almost impossible, because just logistically and infrastructurally, you know, people do live in extreme harsh conditions. So I was wondering myself how this election could have taken place. Of course, you know, the Sudanese authorities said the election went peaceful because they want the Darfuris to decide whether they want to be one administrative capital or five different regions, as they are now in present. You know, the Sudanese are telling us that the election went well. There was a high turnout. Of course, the opposition parties and other activist groups say this is not the case. You know, there was low voter turnout. And they also question why this election was held in such a rush. Also, given just the, you know, the conditions that people are living on, how do you have an election when people don't have an address, for instance, or they live in a camp and they've been living in a camp for years? You know, of course, even the U.S. have come out quite strongly condemning this election. But the Sudanese are saying, well, it's going ahead, and this week we'll know, you know, what the results of it will be. There were a few, the African Union sent a huge delegation to observe the election. We've not heard their take on it yet, so it's very difficult to assess how successful this election was, Africa.
We're certainly looking forward to the result. And then Liberia, they've got a fresh crisis. What's it about?
Africa, you know, Liberia is a small country. You know, it had, you know, terrible post-conflict with Charles Taylor, people, you know, having lost their families. And then, of course, the Ebola crisis where they've just come out, you know, and in fact, there's, you know, one or two cases again. Now, there's a huge crisis in the education system, Africa now, with the Ebola crisis. Schools were shut, so no one went to school. And now schools have reopened, and the education department and the minister have now proposed that they outsource the education system to an American company. This is, of course, huge outcry from local civil society groups and, of course, the teachers' union. In fact, the UN have also even become involved, saying that, you know, no country can outsource the education to another country. And the Liberian education minister saying, well, given that, you know, we've had to close the schools, there's been no infrastructure, there's been no schooling happening, why don't we outsource this to an American company? It will be the first public-private partnership in the world where an American company brings the latest technology and teach the Liberian kids. So Africa, and I think, you know, activists are saying, well, there cannot be a quick fix solution to fixing an education system. You know, they don't have a lot of pupils. It's about 1.5 million kids at school. Why don't they try to fix it locally? But it seems the education ministry is well set on this public-private partnership. And now we find that the education, well, at least teachers and activists are mounting a big campaign, and they're also going to go on strike if this is actually going to be implemented.
Crystal Alderson, thank you very much. As always, you can go to theafricareport.com for more on those stories.